good if it goes.
I don't know what the fuck I just watched, but I just promise you I'll fucking piss the fuck off. And we have the fucking coaching staff to thank for it, because that's a talented fucking team, offensively and defensively. They fucking threw Elliott in the trash and forgot about him. They threw the wide receivers off the bus and left them fucking at home. Like, they didn't bring him with them. Defense played a fucking great game. I mean, as good as a game I could see a defense play. And yeah, that's true. No Connor Cook. And I mean, it is what it is, though. We got fucking exposed by the fucking coaching staff. The coaching staff's fucking terrible. I don't know what the fuck Urban Meyer is doing over there. 5 first downs. I mean, I just don't understand what the fuck happened. I don't know what's going on. And right now, college football can eat a dick. That's all I have to say about that. I mean, JT Barrett only has 16 passes. Zeke only 12 carries. I think like 33 yards. I think it ended up being with a score, but who gives a fuck about that score? I mean, they look good in the beginning of the game. Their first couple of drives or whatever. Just a horrible game overall. Started out with a really bad punt early on and just never fucking got footing after that. It don't make no fucking sense. Lose at home in a must-win fucking game. Gonna be knocked out of the fucking playoff. We can kiss that goodbye. And lose at home on senior night. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I blame the coaching staff totally. Fuck them.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode, I don't even fucking know where we are right now. We're back with a good one. You just heard Mike. He was pissed about the Ohio State. Oh my God, I'm so out of breath. He was so pissed about the Ohio State loss. Mike, we're going to start it off with you. What do you think of the play calling and just everything about that Ohio State-Michigan game? Or Michigan State game, excuse me.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? So, actually...
First of all, welcome back, Mike.
Oh, yeah, man. Welcome back,
yes,
Mike.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show.
After
welcome
fucking,
back from your West Coast adventures.
Yeah, fucking the 30-day West Coast swing. He played the fucking Sacramento Kings.
He went
Los
on his
Angeles Rams, every fucking team out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, shout out to LA Galaxy, David Beckham and them niggas and all them and shit. But nah, man, like I made my rent, I guess the same time Zeke went off, cause when I got to seeing his comments, he basically said the same shit I said, which is just the play call and the coaching staff. Really don't know what Urban doing over there. I've been saying this all season, even since week one when Zeke barely had any carries. I mean, don't get me wrong, Sparty, good team. Shout out to them. I always like them. But, I mean, like, they got a really good defense. You know what I'm saying? They were shutting shit down for sure, so I ain't taking no credit away from them. But I just feel like that play caller could have been a lot more flexible. Zeke should have had more carries. That dude need the ball in his hands. Like, I mean, we seen what he done. We know what he can do. So, I mean, it ain't really no need to beat no dead horse, man. I said it. Elliott said it. A couple of players co-signed it. Play calling, coaching, that's what lost them that game. They didn't have the best chance to win. Yeah, that's it.
Well, we'll get right to the nitty-gritty. P-Jack, you had a lot to say about Zeke and all the players coming out after the game and just basically bashing Urban Meyer and his coaching style and the play calling and everything that happened. Basically projecting the loss on everybody but themselves.
They did. And, you know, this is the same guy that, you know, led you to the national championship last year. And, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, I understand in the heat of the moment, he was furious. He felt like he should have been a bigger part of the game plan. But for Cardale Jones, who doesn't even take a snap, and he's on the sideline and he's angry, and then he announces he's going pro because you just lost, like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like I said, I like what Ohio State's done. I like Urban Meyer as a coach. It was some very questionable play calling in that game. But them ain't the type of guys you want on your team, man. Them fucking losers. They're selfish. Them the guys. If I'm Bosa, I'm looking like, man, we possibly got 2 games left. Like, we're not eliminated yet. Like, they know we can play. The committee may give us a chance, you know, and, you know, for them to just be like, it's over, I'm done, I'm never stepping foot in the horseshoe ever again. Like, they might as well just quit, man, and go prepare for the pros.
Rob, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to go on a little mini rant of my own here. The play calling sucked.
you know, you ran Ezekiel Elliott, what was it, 11 times, 12 times? I was flipping back and forth between a few different games. I didn't see the whole one. Yeah, 12, whatever. This is a Michigan State team with a very, very questionable secondary. Why were you not airing it out on these guys? You threw 16 passes. And if JT Barrett wasn't getting the job done, put Cardale in. You've got to take advantage of a glaring weakness like that secondary. This is a team you should have beat by 3 scores. Now,
how do you figure that?
I can't give you that, bro.
How can you figure that? How can you figure that?
They should have been able to throw the ball all over these guys.
How? I mean, Ohio State has the difference between Ohio State last year and Ohio State this year is they don't have that deep threat. They don't have a guy that can go get the ball. Last year, oh boy, I can't think of his name. What's his name, Mike? That was drafted in the second round.
Devin Smith
was essential to them. He was. I mean, Cardale and all of them got a lot of credit, but Devin Smith would make incredible one hand catches, and he was their deep threat. Ohio State don't have that this year. And it's been detrimental to their offense. So now when you get in a game where you need to run the ball, and at the end of the day, Michigan State dominated them on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So Ezekiel Elliott can complain he should have got the ball more, but he had, 13 carries for, 34 yards? So it wasn't like he was too effective with the carries that he did have, except for that first drive.
But in any case, you know, and I think they really needed to take advantage of that secondary. That is a weak secondary. In any case, whether you whatever you thought of the play calling, that's not for Ezekiel Elliott to say.
No.
You know, that's just not a good look. You know, if you want to say you're going pro, that's fine. But the way he did it sucked. And this is one of those, I'm very glad we got Jim Harbaugh moments, because you hear the quotes from James Ross where they were saying he'd run through a brick wall for this team and they'd do the same for him. And after that Michigan State loss, which was a horrible way to lose a game, there wasn't any of this. They rallied around the punter. Harbaugh made it clear, we're going to put steel on our spines. We're going to move forward. And then you see something like this after they lose one game in Columbus. That's just not a good look for.
I hear what you're saying.
Or Urban Meyer.
I hear what you're saying on that, Kevin, but. Here is Ohio State players have been spoiled. They've been winning. They've been undefeated. Where Michigan players have went from, I'm not even going to get into the coaching staff. They had the dungeon of the Big Ten to now they have a guy who's got him ranked in the top 10. Of course, you run a one through a brick wall for a guy who's got you back in the national spotlight.
Shane, you said you were going to bring some signings to PJAC for all of his comments on Ezekiel Elliott and everything that happened after the game. What did you think of basically outright defiance of, the guy that got you there? I mean, nobody – winning is the cure-all, and they're just pissing on Urban Meyer's leg because they lost. What do you think of everything that happened this past weekend?
Well, okay, for starters, as far as Ohio State goes, I think one thing that we all completely underestimated and – nationally people underestimated, and it's still not really talked about that much, is, I'm going to take a quote from Bill Polian, who talks about it in the NFL. When you have two quarterbacks, you really have none.
I think I saw you tweet that.
And, this team just failed to all year, even when they were winning games. And, Mike's an Ohio State fan. I'm sure he can tell you the same thing. Even when they were winning games, I mean, you never really saw that dominance that we all expected from this team. I mean, they were playing close against, pretty bad teams. And they just they never had an identity. And I think I'm gonna criticize Urban Meyer for that. He should have picked a quarterback to go with and stick with it. He started with Cardale Jones. Cardale didn't play so hot the first couple games, and they made the switch to JT Barrett. JT Barrett then gets suspended, which was a complete joke that the guy gets suspended for one game and then goes back to Cardale, then back to Barrett. I mean, this team never had an identity. And then you have, one of the best playmakers in the country, in Zeke Elliott, that was just criminally underused all season.
All season.
It was embarrassing. All season. Every Ohio State fan in the world will tell you that. We got one on this podcast. You can find plenty on Twitter. I'll tell you the same thing. I'm going to be kind of in the minority here. I had no problem with what Zeke Elliott said. None whatsoever. How many times do we sit in these press conferences, even though it is college kids and it is different than the NFL, but how many times are we just sick of hearing the same old cliche after cliche in, you know, in press conferences and during the week, during practices, whatever? The kid spoke his mind. I have no problem with that. Was it the best possible place to do it? No. But, you know, that was real emotion that he showed after a frustrating loss. And
yeah, but the emotion that he spilled was about him. He didn't spill it about the team. He didn't say Urban Meyer's play calling cost us the game. He said, I didn't get enough carries.
What he's saying is...
Is there anything wrong with that, though, for real?
I mean, yes, absolutely there's something wrong with that.
It could be seen as selfish, but at the same time, you keep it real. When he gets the ball, they win. Look at the last three games from last year.
So Mike,
they gave him the fucking ball, and he ran all over them good teams, supposedly.
Let's ask this.
Well, if Lane Kiffin's smart enough to keep throwing the ball to Derek Green and T.J. Yeldon, they win that game.
So hold on. So let's say Urban Meyer takes those comments into consideration and he benches Zeke for what he said, because that's not Zeke's not being a leader. You admittedly said that he's being selfish. That's something where you're putting the team before yourself, and everybody knows you're the best. You're one of the best running backs in the nation. You're the best running back on the team. The best offensive weapon. But you don't outright say fuck. It's basically saying fuck you, coach. Give me the ball.
Well, I'm willing to play both sides, because if Urban Meyer benched his ass for a drive or for a quarter, I'm like, well, shit, he got what he deserves. Shit, you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, understanding him, he's salty. They lost. They, you know what I'm saying? When the last time Ohio State lost a game? V-Tech last year. You know what I'm saying? You trying to win. This is a national championship on the line. And it's sad that a one-loss Ohio State team who lost a game early in the year against Virginia Tech is basically better than a team that lost at the end of the year versus Michigan State. And y'all know how that goes. Losing at the end of the year is way worse than losing the beginning of the year. And now they're salty because they're probably going to be outside looking in. They're in eighth right now, I think, right? That's what they came up to, eighth, I think.
Yeah, but they rebounded at the end of the year last year and took Wisconsin behind the woodshed.
Yeah, and they're not even going to have that. I mean, this game.
But that's always been college football. You lose early and you rebound late. You can never lose late in the season.
So he's salty. He knows that chance is over with. They're not going to be able to repeat this year. And like,
that gets us to our next point.
At least playoffs or bust. It was playoff or bust this year.
That gets us to our next point. P-Jack, does the Michigan game mean anything to Michigan or Ohio State now?
Essentially, it really doesn't. And I kind of want to touch back on Shane's point real quick. You know, Shane had said that whole quarterback situation. And, you know, I said before the season, you know, the thing about that I've learned in playing sports and playing football is our coaches always said it, competition breeds success. But you cannot have that type of competition at that position. And I said it earlier, if he didn't name a starter in the summer and stick with it, you're going to have two different sides of the team picking and choosing who they want to be the starter, and it was going to destroy their locker room. And I think you kind of seen some of that after they lost. And it took that for it to happen. Like you said, winning shuts all that up. But when you finally lose, you kind of see the true sides of people, and you saw that. And like I said, now that game versus Michigan, this Saturday was supposed to be probably one of the greatest weekends in college football we would have seen if Ohio State handles their business.
But now that game means
absolutely nothing.
You were okay. So when Urban Meyer decided in the beginning of the year to name Cardale Jones the starter,
right?
Is there players, and I'm asking you because you would know this. I mean, obviously this locker room, but playing football, were there players that got together that said, "Man, this is some bullshit. JT should be the starter."
Absolutely. But you heal all that when you name it early. So when you get into summer camp and all that shit, guys have already been acknowledged who the starter is, and there's no grumblings. But when you wait up until game time, until you are the day before that you announce a starter, you got some guys thinking it's JT, you got some guys thinking it's Cardale. So I want my boy to play. Ezekiel want his boy to play. You know, you left doubt in that locker room, and you left those discussions to happen. You can do that at linebacker. You can do that at safety and running back. Them positions, you can do that. You can't do that at your quarterback position. And they were doomed from the start. And it's not his fault.
I thought for sure that Cardale Jones was going to go in the draft after last year. And I thought that Urban Meyer would push him to do it so he wouldn't have to run into this type of problem. I mean, it's once they brought back Braxton Miller, you knew that he was going to be a wide receiver. I'm sure that was talked about behind closed doors. His name was out of the picture. But
yeah, he was done.
I was really surprised. I thought Cardale was going to go pro for sure. I mean, his stock was sky high. And don't you think, this would have been so much easier on Urban Meyer if he didn't have to deal with, having two guys who were more than capable of starting, one of them obviously on the bench.
Right, and absolutely. I mean, we saw the images of JT Barrett on the sideline when Ohio State either won the national championship. Like, this guy, he looked defeated, and his team just won the national championship because he wasn't the guy leading the team. The signs were there from the start. Cardale Jones can't go pro after three games. They got tape of three games. Somebody would have been stupid enough, Chicago Bears probably, pulled the trigger, drafted him in the first round. That would have been the biggest mistake they've ever made.
And it's crazy because we come into this year thinking everybody thought that I thought Ohio State was going to run through this. I remember looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year. I said, I don't even see a team that even comes within double digits, at least on paper. And then now you got this turmoil, and it goes from one big honeymoon with Urban Meyer last year winning the national championship to this disaster. This is a team that, next year that's a big year. And
they're going to lose a lot, and they got a tough schedule.
The thing is, they're going to lose a lot of guys in the NFL.
And they actually play a tough schedule next year instead of 10 tomato cans and then Michigan State and Michigan.
Yeah, but it's Ohio State. They restocked.
Back to Quan's question. I mean, at least from my perspective on this Ohio State Michigan game. I mean, it's very, I actually found myself Saturday. I was rooting for Ohio State to win that game based on the one fact that I wanted that game against Michigan, like Prentice just said, to be for everything. I mean, you have the Ohio State Michigan, which is quite arguably the best rivalry in college football, and for it to actually mean what it could have meant.
Right.
It's just as a fan for the game.
Well, it still could mean those things.
Kevin, except, no, it cannot.
Well,
no,
except cannot. Now we're just hoping that James Franklin finds his brain and just lets Hackenberg air it out and let come what
may. So Penn State got a chance, Kevin? That's what you're saying? Because that's the fuck I'm hoping for.
I mean, I'm hoping for it too, but, again, we're counting on James. Yeah.
Well,
the game doesn't mean shit outside of people who cheer for Ohio State and Michigan. This is our national championship, and then we get to be in the fucking Lazy Boy recliner bowl. And we'll go fucking. They'll talk about Urban Meyer is fucking 50-4, and yeah, that's cool. And he fucking jagged the fucking national championship because he didn't want to fucking hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, and that's the fucking end of that. So we gonna kick y'all ass though. Kick y'all ass.
With that, we'll get Schwab. We'll get to the Michigan minute.
Avi Betts too, motherfuckers. What up?
Well, first, some sad news. Chad Carr, Lloyd's grandson, passed away Monday from brain cancer. So, obviously, our thoughts are with the Carrs at this incredibly difficult time. So, to learn more about Chad and his story and the Chad Tough Foundation, which raises money for pediatric brain cancer research, go to www.chadtough.com. Now, as far as football goes, Michigan got a nice win over Penn State, the same Penn State that we're now counting on to beat Michigan State. The run defense bounced back. It seemed to be aided a bit by James Franklin not being the sharpest crane in the box, and Penn State's offensive line not being anywhere near as good as Indiana's is. And if you ever thought that you'd hear that sentence aloud, well, you're alone. Michigan's ground game seemed a little better, but still less than ideal. At this point, though, it just is what it is with these guys, and hopefully keep building in your offseason and get back at it next year, with Jim Harbaugh did at Stanford, and Dred Miller's there too. There's no reason to think that they're not going to eventually get this ship righted, but coming from where they came from, it's going to take some time. But luckily, Jake Rudock had another nice game, and It looks like good Jake Rudock is here to stay. So, a full recap of the game, player grades, and a position-by-position breakdown can be found at pitifulgrades.com. Sincerely yours in football, I'm Kevin Schrader, and this has been your Michigan Man, Go Blue, beat Ohio.
Woo! Sincerely yours in football.
You know, guys, I do want to add a little something to that Ohio State Michigan game. Michigan is a 1.5-point favorite. And before last week, Ohio State was a 4.5-point favorite.
It's so fucking lit.
Odds makers are basically telling you that the fact that they lost that game and there's a better chance than not that they're not really playing for anything.
They're checking out.
That they're checking out. See, I don't know. Like, I find that hard to believe that they're just going to completely check out because they're still playing Michigan. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, but you just had Ezekiel Elliott say, we lost, I'm out of here. And it's the coach's fault.
They're still going to be up for that
game, man.
That
was 15 minutes after the game ended. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see Ohio State just showing up and just going through the motions. That's not going to happen. Now,
I can.
And
I can, too.
That game's at 11 o'clock Central, so it's a noon Eastern game. And the Michigan State-Penn State game is afterwards. Is a 2:30 Central Time game. So, you know, you have to play that game thinking that, you know what, if Penn State can win that game, you know, we're going to the Big Ten Championship.
But Michigan's going to play that game that way.
Nobody's questioning Michigan. I mean, the motivational questions are coming from what Ohio State's going to bring.
Exactly.
They should be. You know, and they can look at it like, oh, you know, we might not be playing for a national title anymore and, you know, playing like that's going to get you beat. Because Michigan's going to come in this game looking like, you know, whatever we're playing for, that's down the line. That's going to be the next game. Right now we're playing to win this game and we're going to play to get better.
Exactly. And in the comments Ezekiel Elliott made, you know, you're not even looking at a big-time Urban Meyer versus, you know, Harbaugh matchup. All they're focusing on is the comments he made. You know, it's like now people are really out here questioning Urban Meyer's ability. Like, this man is the second best coach in college football. Like, the play calling, don't get me wrong, was very questionable Saturday, but I'm not questioning Urban Meyer as a head coach, not once. Like,
and I'm trying to hype myself up for this game, but I just can't, man.
There's no hype to it. There's absolutely no hype to this game.
If they want to be upset that, you know, they might not make the playoff, fine. You know, well, you know, we might not make it either. And I mean, it's year one. We'll see down the line. I'm keeping Rose Bowl in the picture. You know, how awesome would that be in the first year coming from where this program's been? So,
no question.
Yeah, but Ohio State fans though don't want to hear that shit. You know, they weren't playing for the Rose Bowl. They were playing for repeat.
Mike just said playoffs are bust.
Well, then that's their problem. You know, then losing makes you soft and maybe they need some steel in their spines then, but you know, they clearly don't have it.
We're going to beat y'all's ass this weekend though, so you can fucking take steel
let's
in your
get,
spine.
Hold
and
on, let's
your
get to the
ass.
Playoff rankings. We got Clemson at 1, Alabama at 2, Oklahoma at 3, and Iowa making the jump to the top 4.
Hulk ass!
What was that?
Hulk ass! I love you.
Oh, I thought you said yes. I was about to kick you the fuck off this show.
I love it.
Shane, you said last week, I believe you said Alabama's the best team in the country, but what do you think about the Hawkeyes jumping? First, who was that tweeted last night that the Iowa O-line would maul or he'd take them over Alabama's D?
That was just some fat cornbread cracker that tweeted Helmer about the game. That was just, I don't know, a delusional moron. And me, Panic, and Helmer just started going after the guy and, you know, just it was comical. But
what do you think about Iowa at 4? You like it or not?
I mean, I don't have an issue with it as it stands because – you know, okay, more likely than not, we just spent all that time on Michigan, Ohio State. If Michigan wins this game, and then they play Iowa in the Big Ten Championship, that game's going to decide what Big Ten team gets in the playoffs. So if they would have put Michigan State there, I wouldn't have cared either because that question's going to answer
right.
itself.
Absolutely. Not so fast, my friend.
Absolutely.
Who's Baylor?
Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
Who's if Baylor loses and Notre Dame loses, you could see two Big Ten teams in.
There is not big, two Big Ten teams are not happening. If Stanford beats
Notre Dame, not happening, bro.
Let me just end his that bullshit right now. If your scenario happens, if Stanford beats Notre Dame, they would be the team to get that to sneak in if like Oklahoma were to lose to Oklahoma State. There's no way that two Big Ten teams are going to go. There's just no way. I don't know how you could think that. If you're trying to create this scenario in your head where Michigan gets in along with another Big Ten team, you're even dumber and fatter and stupider than I fucking thought.
Yeah, Michigan chances went out the door for last week when Michigan State made that kick. That's all there is to it. Michigan
only backdoor chance is Penn State winning, and that shit over with. Ohio State gonna beat Michigan ass anyway. So
to Quan's question, I have no problem with what the committee has tonight. I mean, Clemson and Alabama can write their own tickets. If Clemson, I'm gonna tell you guys this right now, they're gonna be in for a fight against North Carolina in the ACC championship game. That is not gonna be a pushover. If they lose that game, I won't be shocked if they slide. I mean, they might not slide all the way out, but they're going to dip to probably, the fourth team.
If Clemson lose and everything else remains the same, the Michigan State can't – well, nah, because they still got to play that Big Ten. They still got to play Big Ten championship.
The committee's biggest statement tonight was how high they are in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State. They are in. That's all they have to worry about.
Well, I think the thing is they're finally giving the Big 12 some love with how the schedule played out at the end of the season. Because you try to kind of nitpick and kind of see what you think the committee is seeing, and I think this year they have totally looked at strength of schedule and threw that shit out of the window. I don't think there's any conference that is more superior than the other where they're saying, well, this team's played this team's played that other team, and they're done. Like, Oklahoma lost to Texas, and Notre Dame beat Texas. But they have – and they don't give a shit. Iowa has absolutely played nobody, and they are ranked ahead of Notre Dame. And –
Northwestern's ranked
16. Shut the fuck up.
And Iowa went in there and beat them.
Shut up, man. Kevin, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's stupid, dog.
Iowa has not beat anybody worth a damn. I know you want to. I know. 16. Yeah, you say Northwestern because that's the only team Michigan has beat. That's why you keep bringing up Northwestern.
Well, I say Northwestern because I'm looking at the playoff rankings right now and I see Northwestern, 16.
Yes, 16 out of the playoff. Not a chance. They're ranked 16. Who gives a fuck?
Two loss, Big Ten team. That shit over.
Florida State is 13. Who gives a fuck? They are 13. It means nothing.
I also want to add something. Nebraska is beating Iowa this weekend, FYI.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but like I said, I feel like the committee has completely looked at strength of schedule and said, well, we don't care who's played who because nobody has really played anybody. Nobody has anything really significant. I think they're looking at losses and they're looking at wins late in the year. Notre Dame's playing themselves out of it because they haven't looked impressive as of late where Oklahoma has. I don't know where you could make the case for Iowa. I think the thing is they're undefeated and they know the Iowa-Michigan State game will eventually be an eliminator. So you could like Kevin said, you could put Iowa at, or I think Shane said it, you can put Iowa at 1-6. You could put Michigan State 1-6. They know the winner of that game in the Big Ten Championship is getting into the playoff. So it doesn't matter where they're ranked, winner's getting in the game.
And we'll end it there. No two Big Ten or Big Ten teams in the playoffs. Not happening.
And it should be considered when you got four teams ranked in the top 10. I mean,
God damn it. I said we're going to end it there.
You have to fight with that.
You can't beat my ass, though.
I'll beat your ass.
Reiterate my point from last week.
I'll beat your ass.
You can't beat my ass, though. And since you can't beat my ass, we'll go to church and we'll solve it. Why don't you tell us this week who dropped the church's money?
Well, since Quan don't think I can whoop his ass, we'll turn to the Bible and open a segment about fighting. And I'm going to tell you about a guy who didn't fight. And his name is Ezekiel.
Ooh, that was Ezekiel. A good segue, man.
And Ezekiel Elliott, I believe he did not pick up his Bible. He did not pay attention. I feel like this is a guy who on the field, when I see him play, he is a warrior. He goes out and he handles his business. But as a guy who should be looked at as a Heisman contender, as a leader, he did not present himself in that situation after they lost the game. And you kind of question his leadership now. And I think NFL scouts will when it's time for him to get drafted. I'm going to pray for Ezekiel Elliott. I hope this doesn't hold him back. It's hard as it is being drafted as a first-round running back, and now they're going to question your commitment to how do you handle losing. Are you going to make a comment about Bill Belichick if he drafts you and you lose a game to the Buffalo Bills? So I'm going to pray for Ezekiel Elliott. I hope he gets his mind right. I hope he can drag Cardale Jones into church with him as well, and I hope they can redeem themselves from dropping the church's money.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Sensational.
And now,
amen, praise the Lord.
Now we'll move on to the NFL. Black excellence, opulence, decadence. Woo! That's what Jay said. Jay-Z said that on Watch the Throne. All you white people on the podcast, you might as well cut your mics the fuck off. And I'm not even going to talk because I'm eating my shit. Cam, famous Jameis. They dropped fucking bomb. Rosemary Plurin, she lit a fuse in Cam. And Jameis must have had the crab leg dinner. 5 touchdowns apiece. Mike, what did you think of those performances last Sunday?
Long live the black QB. Been saying this shit for years, baby. First off, you know, as a huge McNabb and Vic and McNair, RIP that brother. As a huge fan of black quarterbacks, what a time to be alive. even Teddy Bridgewater tried to show some flashes against the great Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, I mean, nah, keeping it real, though, what you expect from Cam Newton right now? He on top of the world right now.
Man.
He got it. And the only reason why it's not just a tad more is because you got a fucking 10-0 Patriots team right now with the fucking guy that guy himself shitted out. With fucking Brady over there. But, I mean, who playing better than Cam right now? Stats, you know, it's guys that have better stats than him. I know they tried to compare Kaepernick and fucking Cam stats and all that shit. But, like, just on some team leadership shit, you know, getting the wins, getting the job done on the field, Cam looked good. He looked good. He's been looking good. I mean, you got a fucking undefeated team over there. He's clearly a leader. They got a good defense. Their receiving core ain't shit, and he threw fucking 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers. And I think that's why they kept rubbing that stat in, because they know he got ain't shit receivers over there. So it was a good look for him. I didn't get to catch the Tampa Bay game. I caught the highlights and whatnot. But I think Jameis is kind of getting a little more comfortable back there. I ain't really watched too much of him this year. It's mostly been highlights because I just can't stand to see Lovie Smith just coach another fucking terrible team because I love the guy. Long live the black coach as well. But it was good to see both of them excel. Look forward to seeing what Jameis going to do the next couple years because I think he for real is a stud. I know notable Tampa Bay fans gave up on him after the fucking first quarter of this
Schwab,
year.
Schwab, we looking but, you
know,
at you right
I,
now.
I ain't gonna, you know, what I'm saying, say too much about that. But yeah, it was good to see.
Hey, Silencio, I mean, white man.
I want something to say on this. And Quan, I want you to drop the Undertaker bell. I want you when you drop this. I want the Undertaker bell on this.
I got you,
Kevin. I do not want to hear another NFL comment from you on quarterbacks again.
You're about to bring up Denard.
I'm done. I'm completely. It's finished. It's finished because as you, as a Tampa Bay Bucks fan,
are not excited.
You are not excited. You should be talking the most shit. When your rookie quarterback throws 4 touchdowns in the first half and he has 5 touchdowns in one game, and you don't say not one fucking thing. I do not want to hear your mouth again when it comes to the quarterback position in the NFL. You are done. You don't listen. No, listen. You cannot talk. You cannot talk. I don't want to hear you. You cannot talk.
That's great, but I've heard
this. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you, bro. I don't want to hear you right now. I'm done with your ass. Like, all season, you have made the comment who you wanted. And the guy that you despised has been balling. And you ain't said shit about him. You have not said shit positive about Famous Jameis. And you need to give Jameis the Nazareth some fucking some praise. Right. I want some praise right now for Jameis. Right now.
He had a very nice game.
That's it?
He did. Well, that's look, it. Oh. First of all, I didn't despise him at all. You know, I wanted the other guy more. And I wanted Bridgewater last year.
Teddy has nothing to do with this, man. Just say you were wrong.
Hey, I'm not racist. I got one black friend.
Just say you were wrong, man. Just say you were wrong. Jameis not turning over the ball, and all he's doing is throwing touchdowns. Where you got Mike Evans every week dropping 10 balls. You got Vincent Jackson who's hurt. Your tight end's hurt. Just give Jameis the praise he deserves, man.
He's been very good. And the only reason I'm not going off a cliff with this right now is because I have been watching this team for over a decade now, and I have heard this story before. I've seen a quarterback come in with tons of potential. And
who have you drafted first overall
at quarterback? And 5 years later comes back to me wondering, you know, after Josh Freeman gets cut by his 15th team.
Josh Freeman and Jesus Christ, Jameis, Aaron. They're not in the same universe, man.
Never was.
Give it another year, and then let's see. Because
we're done. Listen. You're done. Don't talk about quarterbacks no more.
Like, that's your quarterback, dog. Like, I'm a Jay Cutler fan, bro. Because I have to be a Jay Cutler fan. Like, I'm 28, and in my 28 years of being a fucking Bears fan, we've never had a quarterback as good as him. So that's not saying a lot at all. But I support that man. You know what I'm saying? I support him. That's your quarterback, dog. Like, he was drafted to be your quarterback.
And he's a rookie.
And he's had fucking one of the best games for a rookie quarterback ever.
Schwab.
He's fucking tied a rookie record.
Schwab.
Four touchdowns.
And you think Denard Robinson could have... And you thought Denard Robinson could play this position at a high level.
I thought the offensive weapon was turning
more towards the spread and that type of thing, but I was wrong.
He couldn't throw the fucking football.
He can't throw the fucking ball, dog. Just because he went to Michigan don't mean he can ball, bro.
Come on. Say one positive thing about Jameis's play.
He can't. He hates black people.
Schwab, do you hate black people?
Not at all.
Schwab. Okay, this is the ultimate question right here. Popeyes or KFC?
Oh, man.
You got to think about it. You're automatically fucking racist. Shane, we'll end it with you, Shane.
I go Popeyes, but I like KFC a lot, too.
Oh, my. You're fucking racist. All I heard was...
Hey, what if Schwab would have said Harold's? That shit would have blew my mind, bro.
Shane, we're going to end it with you. Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, I want to get back to something Mike said. We were just talking about black quarterbacks. He mentioned Kaepernick. Do you guys even claim him? Like, Cam Newton, black. Michael Vick, very black. Tyrod Taylor, black. Winston, black. Kaepernick, is he black? I mean, come on.
If he got pulled over by the police, he might get shot. So, yes, he's claimed.
But if he pulled over by the police and he took his fitted hat off and put his white person voice on, he'd be straight. So, I don't know.
Maybe not today with that analogy.
Good point.
Yeah, it's been ugly around here.
We don't claim Russell Wilson no more either.
Yeah, we got to after the Super Bowl. We ain't gonna get too many of them.
He was black when he won the first one, but he wasn't black last year. He was a Native American man.
Back to the original question, sir. Jameis Winston, that team is quietly right there for a wild card. I mean, he's turned the ball over, like, especially early in the season, he was turning the ball over a lot, but that's to be expected of a rookie quarterback. And, I mean, we all saw this in college, like, he looked like an NFL quarterback. I mean, Prentice watched him closer than anybody, and he would always say that, yeah, this guy's an NFL quarterback. And if you like what we've said on this podcast for weeks, look around the league. I mean, there are not that many good quarterbacks. He has a chance to be top 10 quickly. Yeah, I said it. Top 10 quickly.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that, dog.
Yeah. It's just, you know, all these years of watching this team be bad and have
Kevin, I mean, no two teams are the same. Look at Detroit this year. Look at Detroit last year. Look at Green. You can't ever compare the same two teams, man.
There's not a whole lot else.
You want from this?
There's not a whole lot else. It's just a matter of you got to kind of temper your expectations because
fucking stupid.
You got to go through this as a Lions fan.
You're fucking stupid.
No, my fucking expectations are always. Last year we went to fucking playoffs. At the start of this year, I thought we were going to fucking be back in the playoffs. And I still think on this fucking win streak, I know I'm out of my fucking mind, but 9-7 is a possibility, and I'm not fucking settling for anything less than 9-7.
Okay, maybe you're
fuck
the right
that.
Person
I'm not playing football. I got to fucking,
you
know, I got to be
telling
fucking,
you guys right now,
I have to be wildly fucking enthusiastic about football because that's what I like watching the Lions for some god-awful reason. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, hopefully they just win a couple more games. No, I want them to fucking win every game.
Right, and I'm telling you, Jameis Winston is, he's going to be 10 real soon.
Yeah. And we'll end it there. Fuck Brock Osweiler and Peyton. Peyton's fucking old and washed. Shane, I want to know your best, what's your record so far?
Well, I've lost my last three.
He's on the fucking slippery slope.
I am. I'm 9-8 now on the year. I had Oakland last week. I gotta admit, I mean, they just
restore the fucking roar, bruh.
That's on you for betting the Raiders.
That Detroit defense the last 3 weeks has been pretty damn good. I mean,
it's some good cooter up in Detroit.
Yeah, no, it's I
don't care if they're playing a high school team. Don't bet the Raiders. You know, not that hard.
Okay, we're doing my best bet segment, you fat fuck. I don't talk when you dabble about Michigan. So shut the fuck up and let me talk. My best bet is
you guys are so fucking rude.
Stanford's a 4-point favorite, and they're hosting Notre Dame. Now, this line opened at 3, and it was immediately bet up to 4. I missed the 3. I'm going to lay the 4. That's my best bet. I think this is Notre Dame's by far toughest game. And I've seen some Notre Dame fans chirp on Twitter about my guy Trevor was bragging earlier that they beat Pittsburgh by 2 touchdowns, whatever. If you look at Notre Dame, they really haven't played anybody this year. Now, coming into the year, we thought that some of these teams were going to be tough, and they turned out to not be very good at all. So now you're going to Stanford, where they do everything you do, but better. And Stanford, they laid that egg against Oregon a couple weeks ago. That was disappointing. I was on the Stanford bandwagon. I thought they could make the playoff, and I thought they could give Alabama a game. Stanford has an outside shot to make the playoff. I just think this is the perfect spot for them. They will beat up a pretty average Notre Dame team. I was a little higher on them in the beginning of the year, but same thing with Ohio State. They've just failed to impress in games where you thought that they would. So I'm going to lay the 4 points with Stanford here. I think they will beat Notre Dame by double digits.
And there you have it.
Ooh. Ooh.
And there you have it. We're going to get Shane to 10-8. And he thinks there's going to be a double-digit victory here.
Hey, Shane, I got a question on a pick. Did you see the line for Carolina and Dallas?
Yeah, and this is
that's a stay away from.
that is a straight-up stay away. Carolina is a 1-point favorite at Dallas right now.
And Romo's back.
Dallas actually opened in some spots as a 1-point favorite here. This is the ultimate stay away for me. I cannot really get a good feel. If you put a gun to my head and make me bet it, I'd probably take Dallas. I mean, I know it's really hard to bet against Carolina right now, but, you know, this game definitely means a lot more to Dallas. Carolina, nobody thinks they're going to go undefeated. So if you look at the rest of that schedule, you know, you would probably, if you had to pick out a loss, you'd probably pick Dallas here. You know, Romo's back. You know, that obviously has that team fired up, and they still have an outside shot at the division. So if I had to bet the game, I'd bet Dallas, but I'm not going to because you know, every time you pick against Carolina, they've come out and impressed. So I'm really looking forward to the game, but I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they opened as a 1-point dogs. That was just real interesting. I mean, I know it's at home, but
yeah, that kind of tells you a lot because Carolina, you would think, you know, the average, the public bettor is going to look at that line and say Carolina's 10-0, Dallas is what 3-7 or something. You know, I'm going to put all my money on Carolina here. Well, it's not that easy. You know, it's the NFL is so situational that it's a hard league to bet. And I can't put any money on this game. It's going to be a good one, though. I think all the Thanksgiving games are going to be. Detroit's going to beat Philadelphia, by the way, Quan.
I know that. I'll
pick this to death there.
Are they starting Rapp or Sanchez yet?
Mark Sanchez, they said today they don't know. You talk about a team that's in complete disarray. I think this is it for Chip. 2 weeks ago I said, you know, people were overreacting, whatever, you know. But this is going to be it for Chip, I think, unless a drastic turnaround and they make the playoffs, which doesn't seem likely.
They can't fuck with that phenomenal cooter. And with that, we'll move to the NBA. God, what hot takes you got for me this week? Mike, what have you seen in the NBA?
Man, Golden State. Golden State.
Let's just make the NBA segment about Golden State.
I mean, what more can you say? They the defending champs. When I did my power rankings before the season started, I had them at number one. I'm high on San Antonio, but I don't see how any team beats them. I really don't like to get into too many takes early in the NBA season because it's such a long season. Yeah. But, man, they are in mid-season, postseason form right now. Nobody on the planet is playing better ball.
Here's one thing I want to bring up. BK.
BK. Oh, said, man.
BK said Draymond Green was top 10.
No. So
Wait a minute. He said what?
Sports Center. I was watching Center one morning, and Brian Windhorst, who is like the biggest LeBron stan in the world, and I fucking hate him. He and Brian Windhorst, you're going to hear this one day, because anything about LeBron on the internet you hear about, so you can eat a fat dick. But anyway, he said that Draymond Green, if somebody said Draymond Green was top 10 players, he wouldn't argue with them. And so I automatically thought, what the fuck? So like later on in the day that I remembered that and chuckled about it and tweeted, and I'm like, Brian Windhorst really said that Draymond Green could be top 10 players. And BK basically was just like, what's wrong with that?
You don't think so?
This is why I was playing the Bulls. It was during the Warriors-Bulls game I tweeted that. And I was just like, nigga, it's at least three players on the court right now better than him. Which to me was Curry, Thompson, and Butler. And then that's just them three. I could go reach it with other guys too, but I was just like, come the fuck on, dog. Like,
he really said that?
Like, unfollow. We got our first unfollow BK on the podcast.
Yeah, unfollow BK segment.
Top 10 Draymond Green. Are you serious?
he said, you don't think so. And then CJ chimed in. Damn, chimed in.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm sorry, bro. I don't care how good Draymond Green is. Just because he look like the D's nuts, man, that automatically disqualify him from being top 10 in anything besides top 10 niggas that look like the D's nuts, man. That's it. Like, that's all he can be.
Schwab.
All right, hold on. I want to go in front of Schwab because I have some hot takes here that I want you guys to react to. And cutting off Schwab is usually a profitable thing.
That's your MO.
Look, Golden State, without question, is the best team in the NBA, and it's not even remotely close. If they break the Bulls' record, I won't be shocked. I think what Golden State's doing is a mistake. And they're playing every NBA game to, you know, each guy is going as hard as they can, and they are trying to win, like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals every game. And, you know, what you need to remember, and Golden State fans like Ace and some guys, you know, get pissed off when people say this, but it's the truth. They were able to go through last season and through the playoffs completely healthy, except, you know, Bogut had some problems, but he really doesn't matter to them. And they proved that in the finals. They were able to go against teams in that they dodged some teams in the playoffs that, you know, people thought could give them a run. Look, I am not denying at all that Golden State's the best team. If they go ahead and they just dominate everybody and win the championship, I won't be surprised. But the NBA is an 82-game season. And I just question if this is going to eventually, you know, haunt them. That they're just going this hard every night. And, you know, credit them for what they're doing. They're winning. They're the best, no doubt. But, you know, one of the hardest things to do in any sport is to repeat. And to you, this team's number one goal is to get into May with all these guys 100%. And I've seen too many teams flame out doing what they're doing right now. And
One comes to mind already, and it's the 2010-2011 Bulls team, but they win like 62 games or something like that.
Man, they didn't flame out. They ran against LeBron James.
But that's completely different, bro.
They flamed out as well.
Listen.
That Boston Celtic team, when KG got flamed out.
Are they really? Hold on. To Shane's point, are they really playing? I mean, Steph's only playing, 32 minutes a game?
They're not playing.
They're not playing fucking slash the lane, fucking expend all that energy. These are step back jump shooters, spot shooters. Draymond's probably going the hardest because, you know, he's fucking playing the five. But I don't think their style.
He's the top 10 player, so you know he could do that.
I don't think their style of play is going to wear on them. I mean, eventually. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how you're saying that they're going hard. They're not playing a physical game. They're playing small ball. They're running around people. They're taking step back threes. They're spotting up shooting. I don't see wear and tear happening to them.
I mean,
there's not an easy style. There's no easy style of play to play for 82 games in the NBA.
Exactly.
You know? And that's why I don't think they're going to end up breaking it.
If this team is completely healthy in the playoffs, I am picking them to pretty much run it.
But absolutely.
Thursday night, they were down 23 to the Clippers. Most coaches in the league, especially Coach Popovich, they're going to wave the towel right there because they had a game the next night against the Bulls.
Yeah.
Well, they came back. They won that game, which was probably that you will not see a much better NBA regular season game than that Clippers Warriors game. I mean, that was porn. I mean. That was just basketball at its finest. And then they come back the next night and, you know, they have a tight game with the Bulls and they pull away late. I'm just saying, you know, like Quan said their style isn't exactly, you know, run into the ground, but they're still going 100 miles an hour every night.
Every single game is a spectacle.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it's a treat to watch. I love
watching. Man, that shit is so fun to watch.
And was this not our biggest complaint with Tibbs?
If there's one thing
God
that
damn
I'm just
it,
saying,
we're not talking about the Bulls.
Okay, but the thing about Tibbs is, if Tibbs had this team, he would have fucking Steph Curry playing 42 minutes a night, bro. He'd have Klay Thompson out there playing 38 minutes a night.
Tibbs can't.
In three quarters, and he chilling. You know what I'm saying? The last quarters and shit. The game security. He not out there running into the ground and shit, bro. It's completely different than what the fuck Thibodeau was doing, bro.
Right.
You know that shit. You're not going to see none of these guys on the Warriors leading the league in minutes played. That shit over with.
Not at all. I mean, this kind of reminds me of the Celtics. Remember the first year they won a championship with KG and all of them? And everybody knew coming back next year, there was no way possible to beat them. They just dominated the Lakers in the finals. They're too deep. KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. And then they came out on fire. I think they were like 20-3 or some shit like that. They were beating everybody's ass. And, you know, every night was a spectacle. It was like, here's the reigning champs. How do we beat them? Can we beat them? And then KG got hurt. And then their season was derailed. And I pray that doesn't happen to Golden State. But, they, you know, like Shane said, you can't play 82 games. You can't play 82 games at 100 miles an hour. Like, you know, like I said, if you're down 20 going into the fourth quarter, 85% of the league checks out, you know, get your young guys some minutes. We got a game tomorrow night. It's a loss. We deal with it.
But trying to say, especially when those dog days of, you know, late January, early February, those weeks before the All-Star game that guys talk about all the time, it's just such a, you know, they call it the dog days, such a dead time.
Right.
You know, if I'm a Golden State fan, I don't want to see that, you know, these guys going all in on a back to back just because they're playing, you know, a team for the Spurs. I mean,
well, they do though. Their fans want to see 72-10. So, I don't think they're thinking of the long term effects.
Yeah, exactly. That's just my point. Like, and you know, this could turn out. It could turn out to be completely wrong. You know, I mean, I won't be surprised if they do it. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I mean, who knows what happens if, you know, guys get hurt, whatever. But I don't think they're going to be able to sustain this. You know, I would put them around maybe 64, 65 wins. But there's going to be a stretch where there's just off nights. It's the NBA. I don't care how good you are. That's the way the NBA regular season works.
Well, especially a team that depends on jump shooting as much as they do.
Right.
And we'll get into the 72-10 stuff. Everybody coming out talking about that more next week. But Mikey, what you got for us in your minute this week?
Okay, so while we're on the topic of NBA, I just wanted to comment on Luke Walton. So Luke Walton is the interim right now for the Golden State Warriors. he's right now low key the greatest coach of all time because he's never lost, and his winning percentage. at 1,000. He batting 1,000 right now, and he got over with a 15-0 right now. So at recording time, because they're gonna beat the Lakers' ass tonight. Shout out to you, yeah. Fuck the Lakers, but shout out to you, baby, because I know that's your squad. But anyway, so what do we think about Luke Walton?
Hey, don't be giving shout outs on my podcast, man.
Hey, relax, man.
It's Mikey's minute.
Mikey's minute. Thank you, Schwab. Shit, my dude. Anyway, so what do we think about Luke Walton's coaching career? I mean, is he just the guy that's just in there, you know, just a placeholder or what? I actually kind of like this, man. I definitely like him a little bit more than I like him as a player. But me and a couple of my guys I talk sports about, we were just talking about, man, like Luke Walton, like this dude, I feel like this dude like just took his jersey off from fucking picking wood out his ass. Like, this motherfucker could be actually a legit coach. So, I'm gonna look a little bit more into this as far as coaching goes, because I'm really interested in coaching. But right now, I would like to see what maybe a legit Luke Walton-led team look like, because it's been a lot of coaching debates going around, especially like on Twitter, on the timeline and shit. After Pop, a couple coaches I like, Carlisle. I really like Brad Stevens. I like Whitman. And really, what'd you say?
Stan Van Gundy's a big personal favorite of mine.
Oh, well, yeah, that's you. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, there's a couple cats out there, you know what I'm saying? But it ain't really like the guys that you used to have. Like, you can usually run off, like, and even Doc Rivers, too, even though I don't know what he been on lately, and I ain't really trying to go off his legacy.
Fuck Doc Rivers.
I mean, when he's just a coach, he good. But when he a coach and a GM and a father all at the same time, I don't really like that shit. So I'm going to go a little bit more into Luke Walton, man, probably see a blog potentially coming up, man, talking about these coaches and what's going on. And hopefully, shit, I'm talking about Freddie Hoiberg when he bring the chip home to the madhouse, you know what I'm saying, later on this year. So that's my minute, man.
Yeah,
check out Luke
shit.
Walton. They play the Lakers tonight, so as of recording time, you know, it's going down. So we're going to check them out the rest of the year, man. That's all I got.
Shout out to you.
Yeah,
not to take
away too much, because of the NBA rule.
Yeah, I know, Schwab. His wins are not
going to count
to
Steve Kerr.
Fucking
yeah,
Debbie Downer.
Luke
Nobody
Walton's technically 0-0.
All right. Shane, just to wrap it up here, you wanted to talk about the Cotto Canelo fight?
Hey. Sorry, I got a hot take real quick. Paul George.
Oh.
Paul George is hooping. I think he had 33 in the third quarter tonight.
40. I just saw he had 40, right? I don't know if the game's over, but I just saw 40 on Twitter.
I just want to say my boy PG is back. That's all
he
I want to say.
Jimmy Butler, stopped that ass that last play against
him. I don't want to hear all that.
He put the numbers up.
Shame.
On his head, but nah, he back though. It's good
Shame.
To see him back too.
Cotto Canelo.
Don't say Cotto, it's
Cotto.
That's what I said, Cotto.
This isn't Welcome Back, Mr. Cotter. The most annoying thing that I hear when I hear a casual boxing fan say is, boxing is dead. It's such a lazy, just stupid argument, just a stupid thing to say that boxing is dead. And, you know, a lot of people thought, okay, well, Floyd Mayweather's done now. So, which he's not done. He's absolutely fighting him at minimum one time again. You know, this fight was well hyped, and it lived up to the hype. It was a very entertaining fight, I think, even for the casual fighter. You know, both guys have enormous fan bases in their respective countries. And,
this is America.
You know, you have guys like Canelo and GGG who are just huge draws right now. So even though a guy like Mayweather is, you know, kind of off the radar right now, boxing is not dead. They will always find more stars. And it's just, I thought that Canelo winning, it's going to set up. He's going to fight GGG, which will be just an enormous fight. Those are the two of the biggest names in the sport right now. And boxing is in a good place right now. Boxing is in a very good place. And, I think a lot of people have bad taste in their mouth about Mayweather after the Pacquiao fight. And, you know, then the white people get all riled up about some, you know, stuff he's done in his life, whatever. But boxing is fine, and it's only getting better.
Did you score? Do you think the score of the fight was good? I was watching it, and man, I think that sixth and seventh round, Canelo just fucking put a whooping on Cotto.
I had it 8-4 in favor of Canelo. I thought that Cotto. I was surprised that he didn't get knocked out. I thought there was a time, and I think it was, what was it, the seventh when Canelo
started seven, he was round.
And didn't you guys get that feel watching that? Like, okay, he's wearing him down, and he's going to finish him before this thing is over. And Cotto, who's an outstanding boxer, he's just a little past his prime. He did a great job to avoid that. And it was just a really entertaining fight. And I think, you know, got a lot of positive reviews. Like, did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a real good fight. I like Canelo a lot. But hey, I got a question for you, Shane. How many more fights you think Canelo got in hell, man?
Canelo's 25 years old. That's what people...
Yeah, but he's fucking almost fought 50 fights.
Right, well, he started when he was 15. Right. But
how many fights you think you got? You think it's just age or you think it's fights? Like, you think this motherfucker can put up 100 fights?
That's a legit question. It's hard to say. I don't, you know, Cotto was 35. I don't see Canelo being able to fight at the level that Cotto did on Saturday night when he's 35. He's in his prime right now. I think he's got at least 5 more years at his highest level. That would be my guess. You never really know with these guys, and he's never really been beat up. I mean, he was absolutely taken to school by Floyd Mayweather, but he. You know, he was 22 at the end of the fight.
And who hasn't been taken to school by Mayweather?
Oh, exactly. That's the blemish on Canelo's record, is that he was embarrassed by Floyd Mayweather.
Well, let me ask you this, Shane, and we'll finish it with this. Outside is the Fury, Tyson Fury, Klitschko fight, is that going to be any good Saturday?
People swear that it's going to be outstanding. And Ace, for one, has been drilling this for...
Oh, my God. Tyson Fury's all about it.
And
that's my Canadian impression.
To be honest, a lot of people, the heavyweight division's been shit for years.
I think that's why when you say that lazy comment about boxing being dead, that's the division that gives it away.
And you're right about that. Well, this is a heavyweight fight, and you know, boxing heads are telling you that this fight is going to be the best heavyweight fight in years. So I'm gonna tune in. It's on HBO. I mean,
what time is it?
I don't know, 9 or 10. Every
probably fucking midnight, like every fucking May 5th.
Well, no, because it's Klitschko, and sometimes he fights in Europe, and it's on.
The fight's in Germany. Ace swears that Fury's gonna knock him out, and I've heard other people say this too. So when I looked at this, first thing I did was I checked the betting line, like I always do, and Klitschko is a 5-1 favorite here. The buyback on Fury is plus 375. So, I mean, you know, when you got guys telling you that an almost 4-1 underdog has a real good shot of winning this fight, I mean, I'm definitely intrigued.
4:45 Eastern.
You gonna bet it?
Yeah, I'm gonna throw some couch change on Fury.
All right, we'll wrap it up. We know Thanksgiving is tonight. We're gonna move our podcast to new date and time, which will be Thursdays. So, you know, guys, I appreciate all the work you do. I want to know what you're thankful for. We're going to start with the skinniest and then end with the fattest. So, naturally, I'm going last. Shane, what are you thankful for?
Today's Chicago, and you know, with the police officer killing the 17-year-old black kid, and you know, everybody's aware of the story, and it's just completely disheartening. And then you see the reaction. I'm thankful that I have a dad that raised me.
What?
To, can I finish?
Please finish. Hurry up.
I'm thankful that I had a dad that raised me to be the farthest thing from a racist or a prejudice towards any type of group, race, anything. And I'm able to see, I learned at a young age to see things clearly. I mean, you know, it's embarrassing to see, you know, reaction on social media from white people and white people even you know. And to see the things that they've said over these last couple of years, these different instances, like, you know, the Mike Brown case and Trayvon Martin. And it's the fact that I am so on the opposite side of what a racist looks like. I'm thankful that I was taught that at a young age by my dad, that that's not how you're going to live your life. And that's not how you're going to see things. And, you know, I have a lot of, black and Mexican minority friends, and, I'm glad that I can look at the world in the way that I do.
Well, you know what, man? I never thought I would learn that type of lesson from you. But
that was real. You feel like a jerk for cutting him off now, huh? Like,
that was real as fuck.
You started shaky as fuck with, I'm glad I have a dad, because it's not really how you want to fucking, that's not your thesis. That you don't want to start a thesis statement with any type of shit like that. But
yeah,
that was
well, I'm
real,
certainly
man.
No Rhodes Scholar. I never wrote an A paper in my life. So,
well, yeah, I've
know,
seen some of your fucking
that.
Articles. Mike, what are you thankful for?
Oh, man, I'm just...
You better not... Bruh, if you do some LL type shit, I promise you, you won't ever have a spot.
If
on
I do some
podcast.
What?
If you do some LL Cool J
what
type shit.
What the fuck
shit.
That's supposed to mean?
If you talk about your girl on the podcast, oh,
man.
You out of here, bruh.
See, I wasn't even going to do that. But nah, man. Man, I'm just thankful that I woke up this morning able-bodied, breath in my air. I mean, breath in my lungs. The fuck? Breath in my air.
Breath in my air. It's lit.
But yeah, man. Shit. I mean, shit. Thankful for to have a little outlet to talk sports like this with you cats. You know what I'm saying? Even though don't none of y'all know shit about shit. But yeah, man. Just thankful that I got a fucking job. I am black out here in Chicago. Shit crazy right now. So I just hope everybody being safe out there, man. Thankful for everybody that actually clicks to listen. If you made it up to this point and you ain't fucking scroll, your ass either ain't got shit to do or you really fuck with us. So I appreciate it either way. Yeah, man, we gotta come harder with this good if it goes shit, man. We getting better at this shit every day. So you know what I'm saying? So thanks for listening. Yeah, and that's all I got. Hey, everybody have a good holiday and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Eat well. You know what I'm saying? And get ready for this Christmas joint that's coming up, man. All friends and family, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for listening.
He like the epitome of a Chicago nigga. All, only thing missing out your vocabulary is Joe. PJ, what are you thankful for? I know you're thankful for that triple bypass surgery. I know you're thankful. You're not thankful for that hairline. You probably got a lot to be thankful for. The hip replacement, knee replacement. You still out here walking, man. I'm proud of you.
Fuck you.
You can't beat my ass, though.
First, I would like to say, Shane, that was very incredible.
Did it bring a tear to your eye?
I would hope you would add a round of applause at the end of his statement. That was pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah, well, often I do that. Once we get on Twitter after this segment, I'm just going to call you a bunch of fat fucks.
Right. We know you're an asshole, so. You know, just thankful for friends, family, my lady, kids. Having a job, man, it's shit is rough out here in Indianapolis. You know, it's Just been some crazy shit in the news, so it's kind of thankful that you're alive and you can get up every morning and do what you do on a daily basis. Like I said, even y'all out there in Chicago, y'all see this kind of crazy shit that's going on. So, like I said, just having the ability to wake up every morning and carry on with your life. You know, even our listeners, thankful that we have some, the few that we do, we're trying to expand and become something bigger. So, I don't know who all that does, but I know Dev listens. So I'm thankful for Dev for listening. I don't know who that M series guy y'all was laughing at about Survivor Series. I know he retweets every single thing.
Hell that yeah. We post. Shout out so, to him.
I don't know if y'all ever give him a shout out, but give him a shout out. I don't even follow the dude, but I see you retweet every single thing. So just shout out to our, you know, our listeners, you know, girlfriends who let us sit down and do this shit for an hour and a half when they pissed off, but
Brooke
they still let us do it
right now.
You know what I'm saying? Well, she's asleep, but you know,
girlfriends, you know, that fly across the country for us.
Absolutely.
Girlfriends that don't exist for Schwab.
Future girlfriends, Schwab. Future got, girlfriends. That's all.
Oh, you guys are so fucking nice now. Ace was a bad influence, man. You guys are so nice to Schwab now.
I like envision Schwab being like that dude at the end of Pixels when he fucking got a.
I know who you're talking about. I haven't seen Pixels yet, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Schwab, before we get to you, if you mention Jim Harbaugh being the coach that you're thankful for, I'm going to tell you.
There goes points 1 through 5.
What are you thankful for, Schwab?
In all seriousness, first of all, Harbaugh. thanks, you know, all the listeners and everyone who.
What about James? Our site.
Sure, him too. Jameis and Lovey Greg Schiano not being the coach there anymore, so. A lot less guys have Mercer this year. Progress. Did Alex's M series name right?
Yeah.
There's a second thank you to him because I mean he's never even been on the site or on the podcast or anything, and he always does a lot in terms of getting my stuff out there. And you know, big thank you to him for that. You know, I've tried you know a few different blogs in the past and. Nothing's even gotten to this level, and we're only moving forward from here. So, to you know, thanks to everyone that's gotten us to this point and that's going to get us even farther than this.
Wow, you guys got a real fucking nice outlook on where good if it goes is going. Me personally, I want to thank you for the work and effort that you do put into it. I know you guys got a lot of stuff going on throughout the day. I'm the only fucking dude that basically sits around and doesn't do shit all day. I'm stealing money from every job I'm at. So thank you for your effort. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to the people that retweet or have ever listened, are listening now. We will grow. We will expand just as soon as I get the hang of this shit, as soon as we get the hang of this shit. So thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your turkey day if you are listening, and make me a plate. Good if it goes is out of here with episode 11. Thank you, and good morning, Vietnam.
Good if it goes. Oh!